We're going to conclude our talk on Jude. It's one of those really small letters. And with God, he's like the concentration expert. He can cram all kinds of good stuff in just a few verses. And so we're going to close out our study this morning with some really cool stuff. And let's pray. Father, we invite your presence. We know you're already here, Lord. We ask that you just speak into our lives, Lord. We can get so wrapped up into the busyness. We need to just stop and be quiet and listen to that still, quiet voice of yours, Lord. You whisper in our ear all day. You desire for us to draw near to you. And if it be this Sunday morning that we draw close enough to you to recognize you as Lord and Savior, Lord, I pray that your will be done. But speak to us this morning, Lord. Change lives, because you are the one that can. You are the one that is able. In your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Last couple weeks, we looked at the first big chunk. There's 25 verses in Jude, and we looked at the first 23. And I'm going to jump back a couple and review real quick. But the letter starts out with Jude encouraging believers everywhere on the faith that we have and that has been entrusted to us. That we're not just Christians by name, we are Christians by God's choice. We are called to be set apart for God's work here on the earth. God is so awesome, he could do everything himself. But in his infinite wisdom, he wants us, desires for us, to take part in the kingdom work that he has going on. Amen? And it is a huge blessing to serve the living God. Because a lot of times, I spoke Monday night at the chapel, and for you guys that don't know, Wayside Cross across the street, third Monday of every month, we do a chapel. And it's basically just like a mini church service. I bring my guitar and cats scratch out a couple tunes, or somebody brings some music. And recently, over the last bunch of months, it's been a huge blessing. If you guys see Fred downstairs, give him a big hug. I know he's probably listening, but that guy is on fire for the Lord. And it has been a huge blessing for years, I did all the preaching there. And I just bring guys in. And I'm learning to, I got to let go of those blessings that they're meant to be shared. And a bunch of different people have came and spoke at the chapels. And if you feel that on your heart, something's on your heart and you want to speak, come and talk to me during a luncheon or something. But Fred and I had been talking and chatting, and he's like, I've been preaching here and there. I really want to preach at the chapel. And it's just been amazing working with him on putting together messages and just to focus on this or that. And he has just been growing leaps and bounds, and it is just awesome to see the Lord work in him. Well, last Monday, had a couple guys who were going to come help with singing. I had no intention of preaching. I was just going to come and hang out and pray for the guys in the chapel and pray for whoever was doing anything. And short time before chapel service, my phone started ringing like a Christmas tree. And everybody canceled. Nobody could make it. Fred wasn't feeling good. A couple other guys couldn't make it. And I'm like, Lord, I've had this strange feeling all day I was going to be preaching, even though I really was looking forward to what Fred had on his heart. But he wasn't feeling good, so I told him, stay home, take care of himself. And really what had been on my heart that whole day was the meaning of life and the purpose of life. And the meaning of life is we were created to worship the living God. As simple as I can get, we were created for worship. We are vessels for worship. Not just singing on a Sunday morning I'm talking about, but I'm talking about our life's work, everything we do from the time we wake up till we go to sleep. And I've actually had dreams where I was singing and praising God, which is really strange because I have some really weird dreams. But we won't get into those. And that was really on my heart. I didn't share too long with the guys, but since God created Adam and Eve, It has been the enemy's plan to keep us from worshiping the living God. We get tempted by sin, and it distracts us from our focus on God. People come into our lives and say this and that, and we get caught up into what's going on, whether it's gossip or a TV show or a lifestyle decision. And then we can wander down those darkened paths, and we hopefully wake up one day saying, wow, I am really far away from God. I used to watch a show, Jack Van Impe, for years, and God bless the old geezer. But his wife, Rexella, used to say, if you don't feel close to God, guess who moved? Because God didn't move. And it was really on my heart today, and as I'm reflecting on the book of Jude, that's what Jude was summing up in the previous verses in there, talking about the different situations with Sodom and Gomorrah, with Korah, and with the angels being tempted and falling from grace in heaven. Is that it's the enemy's plan to deceive us, to distract us, and to trip us up in our walk with the Lord. And a lot of times with our walk to the Lord. And Jude is just, it's an amazing book when it starts out with focus on Christ. He talks about false teachers and false teachings. And we're just going to jump right in here. If you got your Bibles, we're going to rewind a couple verses. I want to jump in on verse 17 and touch on the things before we do the end here. In verse 17 of Jude, guys, it says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. You can have all kinds of head knowledge about God and absolutely not have a relationship with God. God is either in your heart or He's not. As Randy said earlier about the abortion and pro-life and understanding that the womb itself does not open unless God wills it. It's not just a biological, chemical reaction of two people hanging out for a while. God Himself declares that He opens the womb, so every life is precious. Every life. God does not make mistakes. Billions and billions of imperfect people have been born, each and every one of us. But God does not make mistakes. And life is precious, and the enemy seeks to destroy anything that would worship the living God. From the creation, to the animals, to the people. And here Jude, as he's bringing the focus back from these ungodly situations, and I love the way he sums this up. He says, but you, dear friends, in verse 20, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So we get like three little bullet points I wanted to touch on real quick in that verse 20 and 22, 21. Build ourselves up in our faith. Pray in the Spirit. And keep ourselves in God's love. And in the next couple of verses, Jude is saying, take your faith, take that love, and take that Spirit. And he says, be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them to show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. So we take that love, we take our faith, we take the Spirit that dwells within us, and we love people, especially those who doubt. Because there was a time in our lives that we did doubt, that we did not believe. And God, in His infinite love and mercy, said, here I am. We worked ourselves into a position where we had nowhere else to turn but to the living God. And He is always faithful. And He was right there. Each and every one of you can remember when we were saved, when God shone his light and he says, here I am. I am love. I am forgiveness. I am repentance. Here's a robe. Here's a ring. Here's your sandals, my prodigal. Come back to the family. This is where you belong. Just in that little nugget there of 20 and 21, that is God's will for our lives, to take that faith, take that love, take that spirit to the people of this lost, dark world that are being distracted, being deceived, being told lies that they perceive that are truth, that leads them to their spiritual destruction. Earlier in the book of Jude, the term twice dead is mentioned, not just physical death. You may be here this morning and think that when we all die, we become part of the universal cosmos. I used to think all kinds of crazy stuff before the Lord touched my life. And I thank Him for the truth that He is. Amen? Now, after all the attention Jude gives in his letter, I wrote a little paragraph here, in his letter, to be alert and watchful of false teachers and their messages of deception and the devastating effects of sin, physically and spiritually, Jude brings the attention and the focus of his letter back on the one who truly matters, and that's God. That is God. It's a part here in God's Word that appears many times throughout Scripture, and the term is doxology, and I asked our sweet sister, Amy, if she would come up and just give us a quick, if we could get a mic going up here, I'd really appreciate it. Without breaking it. Is there? There we go.
How about this one? Hello? There we go. Hello, I'm Amy Hughes. Gary asked me to just give a little introduction. What a doxology is. First, I'll just give you the concrete. If you look behind me, doxology is two Greek words combined, doxa, glory, splendor, and logia, which is words, saying, reason. So, words of splendor and glory. Probably the best way I can explain to you how this is used, because it's used in Scripture, as you see in Jude, but it's also used in church services. Some of you might be familiar with the phrase Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's doxology. And that's a Trinitarian doxology, often used in churches to affirm the Trinity. But I think that how a doxology functions both in Scripture and in how the church uses it, how many of you know very much about British culture? Anybody watch British TV?
Doctor Who?
Yeah. What do they call the grammatical point at the end of a sentence? Anybody tell me?
Period.
Not a period.
What?
Dot?
No.
Full stop.
So what it's instead of a period, and if they're reading out something, they'll say blah, 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 and then period. They'll say full stop. And so a doxology is a theological full stop. And I like that term because periods are kind of like periods, say, emphasis, like the end of the sentence, and that's where it ends. But a full stop is like, it's when we're looking at this one in Jude, or when the church uses the Trinitarian doxology at the end of the service, where everybody comes together and says, this sentence is not complete until we affirm with words of glory and splendor who God is. The ending of how we use our services and the ending of this letter, this full stop of affirmation. That is what doxology is.
You rock, Amy. As I shared with Amy earlier, as I'm putting messages together and I bounce ideas off my wife either says, that's going to be way too long. I hear you talking all the time. Do I have to hear you on Sunday mornings too? I love you, baby. And she said earlier in the week, wow, you should maybe have Amy come up and explain that because she's a heck of a lot smarter than you are. And I'm like, yeah. I look at life in the terms of, you know, in the knife drawer. I'm just thankful I'm not the butter knife. May not be much sharper than that, but I'm not the butter knife. But I knew, and I says, ah, no, I got this. I want to do this. And I started thinking on it. Val said again, you know, I ought to think about it. I woke up this morning. I'm like, you're exactly right. I go, I'm just going to jump on it. She goes, now you're going to wait till the last second and ask her. I'm like, you know what? I know Amy's heart pretty much and where she's at. She will be more than willing to come up here and explain this better than I can. So thank you, Amy. Thank you, Amy. So let's jump into this thing called doxology. In fact, we're going to do a little exercise here in a minute, but first let's read through this. Then I'll do a little explaining, because the food be awaiting. Huh? Anybody hungry? No. I'm shriveling away to nothing. I don't know if you guys noticed. I hide behind the poles at work, and my boss just cracks up. He's like, yeah, that works. Anyways. Verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. The apostles used doxologies throughout the New Testament. There are a ton of them in the Psalms. I just wanted to explain a couple things here. To him who is able. I was going to bring Snoopy up here. My little girl brought Snoopy. And I was going to bring a false idol. But my little girl would not let him go. Which we will discuss her idolatry as soon as we get home. But if I asked Snoopy to do anything, what would Snoopy do? Nothing. Whether you got a guy, a hunk of wood, or stone, or Justin Bieber, and yeah, I'm going to pick on him again this week. Thank you. Mountain Dew. I prefer the diet kind, but yes. Nobody please fall down and worship Mountain Dew. I really like Mountain Dew. And no, I will not swig on this because it looks like it's backwash. Thank you, John. To him who is able. Ex nihilo is one of my favorite Greek terms. It means out of nothing. Our God is able that when nothing existed, out of the heavens, he and I'm just explaining this here, he chiseled out an area where there was nothing. And he spoke in the universe. Bang, happened. Evolutionists claim that there was this little singularity and that it exploded. And it basically tends to, not to get too far into the whole scientist thing, but that goes back to the realm of that there was an oscillating universe, that the singularity exploded in the past and it collapsed on itself. And now here, billions of years later, supposedly, it exploded and then eventually it'll collapse again upon itself. What they term is an oscillating universe. But they can never explain where the singularity came from, because they have no answer. But God spoke ex nihilo, and out of nothing, he created the universe. He parted the Red Sea for Moses and the Hebrew people to cross so they could escape the Egyptians. He also closed it back up on the Egyptians and brought about their destruction. He can make the sun stop in the heavens if needed. He came to earth and was born in a little baby in a manger. Our God is able to grow up and be fully God, fully man. The perfect atonement, that unblemished lamb. Our God is able to hang on a cross and sit there and say, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." And looking at the enemies of God himself, God incarnate, he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Our God is able to die and rise himself again in 3 days to be the risen Lord. Our God is able to empower the apostles filled with the Holy Spirit. They were scared and hiding in a room. But after they seen the power of the risen God and they met Christ and touched his marks on his body, they lived their life till their death, and most of them were killed for that faith. So our God is able to do it all. He's done it all. He will continue to do it all. He's the only God that can. Amen? Amen. To keep us from falling. Keep us falling from what? From falling away from our faith. In John chapter 10, Jesus is explaining, the Father holds you in His hand. No one's going to snatch you out of His hand once you're in Dad's hand. And then Christ comes back and says, you are in My hand. No one will snatch you from My hand. He and the Father are one. To present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. We cannot enter, we will not see heaven because of our imperfection, because of our life stained with sin. It's only by the washing away of our sin, having our robes washed white, it says in Revelation 7:14, that we will stand a chance of being able to stand in the presence of the Holy Living God. In Philippians chapter 2, it talks about every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. And the logic there, the fact of reality is there, is not everyone that says that will be on their way to heaven. And Ezekiel, God tells Ezekiel, you're a watchman on the wall. If you don't tell them trouble's coming, the blood will be on your hands. But if you tell them and they don't listen, then you will be free of that penalty. We are our only chance to stand and see God face to face with great joy is by the blood of Jesus Christ. To the only God, it says. Because since the fall of man, there has been a plethora of counterfeit gods. Little, tiny, small, all shapes and sizes, one for everybody. Take your pick, it's like a candy store. But they all have one plan, and they were designed for one thing, to bring you to spiritual destruction and death. Our Savior be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm going to flip to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of His robe filled the temple. Remember when Princess Di got married and she had the Guinness Book of World Records, the longest robe of her trail? No comparison. Although for some weird reason, millions of people worship and totally get enraptured with what's going on with the royal family. God bless them, but they're not to be worshipped. They're not to be worshipped. Above Him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet. And with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. That is the power and authority and glory and majesty which will be realized here on earth when Christ comes back. Amen? Before all ages, now and forevermore. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, never will. What He says, He means. What He says before 700 years in the book of Isaiah, it was predicted in Isaiah 53 that Jesus Christ would be born a baby in a manger. He'd be called Emmanuel, God with us. God said it 700 years before. Any of us can say anything that's going to happen 700 years from now? I pray to God that we're all in heaven at that time. I pray it would be tomorrow. God is the only one who reveals the end from the beginning. The only one. A lot of cool religious books out there, none of them can predict the future to the exactness. The book of Daniel blows people away because of its exact laying out of history. Of the world empires that had a direct effect in relationship with Israel in one way, shape, form, or another. Before all ages, now and forevermore. God was, is, and forever. We need to choose today whom we serve. We need to choose today whom we serve, guys. I'd like to take this time, and if we could put that up on the board here. Yeah. I'd like us for us all to stand downstairs if possible, if you guys are able to. We're going to stand and we're going to say this. I pray this is truth to your guys' hearts. I pray this speaks to you guys. Because whether you realize it or not, you need the blood of Christ. Whether you realize it or not, we are all sinners in need of grace and mercy. I don't know where everybody's heart is in this room. I don't claim to know, but I know a God who knows. He sees right through us. Like my scratched up geeky work glasses. Except He sees clearly through each and every one of us, and He understands the need that we have needed, and He has met that need more and more. So let's say this together, guys. Let me jump back here. Well, you know what? We'll just read off the board here. Ready? One, two, three. We'll say book, verse, read, book, verse. Okay, there we go. I was ready to jump in on there. I should have grabbed my Bible. Anyways, that's for sure. Thank you, Randy. Thank you, tech team. We're going to say Jude 24, and we'll read the whole thing. 24 and 25, we'll read the whole thing. One, two, three. Jude 24. To Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Awesome job, guys. Our prayer is that those words mean everything to you. That those words are life. That those words have called you from darkness into light. That those words, if you are in light, strengthen your faith evermore. So you can take that faith, take that spirit, take that joy, take that love into the world and touch people for our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray, guys. Father, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. You were, you are, and you forever will be the one true living God. Go with us as we leave today, Lord. We thank you for the hearts of your people that have prompted and prepared food for downstairs. We pray, that, Lord, that that food would be good for our bodies. We thank you for the hearts of those that brought it. But Lord, you are worthy of all power, glory, majesty. You are the one true authority. You allow this crazy world to happen for now, but you're coming back to set things straight. In your precious name we pray. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.